Certainly. Children, you are dismissed with Pastor Barbara. We do have nursery available if you need it. And again, on the subject of last Sunday, you guys, give yourselves a hand. I'm not even kidding. It was wildly successful. We had guests of all ages that joined us for worship, the word, and for fellowship. Like, we didn't have enough space downstairs if you were not here. It was cozy. But I feel like this is what we've been training for. It's go time. This is just the beginning of what God is doing here at Grace Christian Center. I want to thank you for bringing your A game, for being gracious hosts of those that came. I saw some of you that normally, like, kind of just, you know, kind of stay back to yourself. You were out there in the middle of it, making sure they had their water and all the things that they needed. And I just think that's amazing. I just am so proud to be a part of this team. You guys are the best. Now, after that last Sunday, and I went home, took a little nap because Sundays are for naps. Can I get an amen? So, and I got up, and Jeremy and I were kind of talking about what had happened on Sunday, or in the morning, and things like that. And I just, I felt the Lord say, this is a season of connecting. Now, there are those that will be meeting in the community that are kingdom connections. There are those that will be called to this place that have skill sets that are there ready to use to build his kingdom here in Southwest Michigan. This season is not coming. It's here, and it's right now. So I want you to be on the lookout for those types of connections. Okay, let's pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come to your house, to set aside any distractions, and to just hear your word, Lord God. I thank you for preparing our hearts for what you're about to share with us, Lord God, and I just thank you for blessing this word in Jesus' name. Now, I want to talk this morning about the culture of community. I've been in a conversation or two recently in which young 20-something people were talking about how, oh, I don't know if I like it here in this community. They're struggling to find friends or find a place they belong and with their colleagues or their friends. And one of them mentioned moving to maybe a bigger city to find their place. And my thoughts wandered kind of, well, if you can't really find them here, how are you going to find it in a larger group of people where there's other people likely looking for the same thing? You know, the enemy wishes to counterfeit anything and everything that God created, right? We know that that's his job. I think it's an interesting thought that God can satisfy our soul, and it resembles, like, sensory things. Like the song we sang last week, we can taste and see that the Lord is good. He never ceases to amaze me that his creation, you know, it works that way. We can turn to all kinds of things to try and be satisfied, but he's the only one that can satisfy what your soul is looking for. There's a generation outside of these walls that needs the community that's right inside of here. In addition to the relationship they can find with him, they also need a place to be loved, a place to belong, a place to serve and be supported. So now I said earlier, a culture of community. Now the word culture is very important here. We are setting the standard. We are teaching the generations what community should look like and feel like. So culture can be defined as the characteristics and knowledge of a particular group of people, encompassing language, religion, cuisine, social habits, music, and arts. Now the Center for Advanced Research on Language Acquisition, that sounds fun, doesn't it? Goes a step further, and they define culture as shared patterns of behavior and interactions, cognitive constructs and understanding that are learned by socialization. Thus, it can be seen as a growth of a group identity fostered by social patterns are unique to the group, and that includes like what we say and how we say it, what we wear, how we wear it, and how we treat people. The word culture is derived from a family of words related to actively fostering growth. If culture is fluid, constantly growing, then we have the power to point it in the direction of the kingdom instead of how it's going. So we can perceive that the learned parts of a culture come by teaching someone what to do, or they're followed by example. So how do we know what the community should look like outside of this building? We have to look at our best earthly example, Jesus, right? He served, he had compassion, he welcomed those that no one else wanted. He led with grace and sincerity, He followed the guidance of his father God, and he knew the importance of children. Now, there's an account in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, that demonstrates what I believe the culture of community should look like on an everyday basis. And I'm going to read from the Message translation. So Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and religion teachers were sitting around. They had come from nearly every village in Galilee and Judea, even as far away as Jerusalem to be there. The healing power of God was on him. Now, let's note that there were critics in the room. There's a huge crowd and a multitude, and there were those who came to judge and poke holes in what Jesus was doing. That's just commonplace. But the power to heal was still there. Verse 18, some men arrived carrying a paraplegic on a stretcher. They were looking for a way to get into the house and set him before Jesus. So there was no way that this man was going to walk to Jesus to get healing by himself. It took his friends. It took his community. Now, I'm guessing that if you want to make the effort to carry your friend to Jesus, that you are believing that there's a better life for him there than where he came from. So in verse 19, it says, when they couldn't find a way in because of the crowd, they went up to the roof, removed some tiles, and let him down in the middle of everyone right in front of Jesus. Now, there were so many people. How many of you love crowded places? Knock it off. You do not. You don't like crowded places because I don't like crowded places. We're one. Come on. So, one time, we had told the kids, oh, we'll go to this trunk or treat festival. They were, it's like years ago. We'll go to this trunk or treat festival over here at this church, and, you know, we'll trunk or treat, get candy and such. And we get to the parking lot. This very large parking lot was overflowing with cars. And I looked at Jeremy and I said, no, I ain't doing this. We're not going in here to this crowd. So we drove to Walgreens, bought some candy, and went home. So I am not a fan of crowds, even for the love of my children. Like, no, not going to do it. So I'm not sure how well I would have personally done in a situation where I was trying to help someone and I couldn't get through to where I wanted to go. But these guys, that didn't deter them. They carried their friend all the way there, and they weren't going to stop. So they climbed on the roof. Now, do you think removing roof tiles sounds like an easy job? Unlikely. No. So they did what it took. They took the roof apart and let the man down in. So in verse 20, it says, impressed by their bold belief, Jesus said to them, friend, I forgive your sins. So right then and there, he did what he does best. He saw their faith, and he granted forgiveness because of it. In verse 21, so what did that do, of course? Set the religion scholars and the Pharisees a-buzzing. Who does he think he is? That's blasphemous talk. God and only God can forgive sins. Well, we all know critics are going to criticize. Like, they're going to be there. It's going to happen. Can't avoid it. But here's what Jesus does. In verse 22, he knew exactly what they were thinking. And he said, why all this gossipy whispering? Which is simpler, to say, I forgive your sins, or to say, get up and walk? Well, just so it's clear that I am the Son of Man and authorized to do either or both, then he spoke to the man and he said, get up, take your bedroll, and go home. Now, it doesn't say that Jesus heard what they said. It said he knew what they said. Like, this was commonplace. Jesus was always criticized for doing what he did. And he put them in his place, in their place. He spoke with authority to them, and he spoke with authority to the man that needed healing. So in verse 25, without a moment's hesitation, he did it. He got up, and he took his blanket, and he left for home, giving glory to God all the way. This guy wasn't going to wait around. He could not walk. So God said it. He did it. He stood up. He was out the door. He obeyed what God said. You know, he said, get up and go, and he just praised him all the way home. In verse 26, it says, the people rubbed their eyes, incredulous, and then they also gave glory to God. Awestruck, they said, we have never seen anything like that. So those who saw this miraculous power take place, they also gave him glory. You know, miracles have a ripple effect, right? People see things, and then they believe, and it just goes on and on and on. So this is the kind of community that we need to culture into existence. The kind that carries friends who are crippled by circumstances, relationships, traumatic events, workplace incidents. They may have even been injured by the church. Those friends and family members need to be brought in no matter what it takes. They need to experience what it means to be at the feet of Jesus, to receive ministry and restoration. Now, the community that I'm talking about, it doesn't stop there. Because as a church body, we've seen people set free. We've seen people healed. And after people are changed and restored, we can glorify life them together, glorify the Lord together, do life together, and break bread together. The culture of community means that people are woven into the fabric of my life. You know what that means? Like the when you weave something together, like one strand just doesn't fall out of the middle. Like you are together for a long period of time. Now, why do we need this? The culture of community adds strength to the church body. Now, I know that I could call on Patty if I had a need or a concern or a prayer request. In fact, I have called on Patty, and she's helped me with what I needed because she's part of my church family. Now, if I'm silly enough to run out of gas or have a car trouble and my husband's out of town, I know that I could call Steve and Ina Carr. And he shook his head, guys. Okay, so I'm guessing I could call Ina if I couldn't call Steve. And she would do what she could to help get me out of the pickle that I put myself in. But without relationship, I couldn't call on them for friendship, support, or help. So this kind of community that I'm talking about is also an example to others of the love and forgiveness of God. Because if you haven't walked with him for very long, then you don't necessarily know all of his traits, right? And if you are a follower of Christ, in John 15:4, it says you should remain in him and you'll be fruitful, right? So the fruit of Christ will flow through you so you can show love and you can show forgiveness to people who may not know that experience. So it's 2019. We are knee-deep in the age of social media, and that's a powerful tool. It can be used for good, but it also promotes isolation. Now, there's no need to call someone and ask them how their week was if they've already shared the details on Facebook. It's 2019, and I could have groceries delivered to my doorstep, y'all. It's a miracle. Just kidding. That means I don't have to leave my house, make eye contact with a stranger in the grocery store who might need a smile or a kind word. It's 2019, and the number of telecommuting workers, people who do their job from home, has increased 115% in a decade, which means people don't have the chance to check in on a coworker and say, hey, how can I support you in prayer this week? So as you can see, current American culture is a proponent of isolation and keeping to yourself and not injecting yourself into community. But here's the newsflash. The need for community is at an all-time high. So it's time to become change agents. So, simply stated, change is to make something different, to change the course of it. To be an agent means you have the power to act. Everybody in here could do it. It's not restricted. So, what are some practical ways that we can be change agents and create community in everyday life? There's four things. Number one, you can be inviters. Now, without you inviting people, we wouldn't have had anyone come to Family Day last week. Right? So you gotta be inviters. You have to be includers. Now, if you haven't had a conversation with someone that's different than you, age, race, family background, it's time, y'all. It's time to sit down with somebody who's different than you and learn about their life. Now, I am a Midwestern white girl that grew up with the same parents my whole life. I mean, I have three sisters. My story's really basic. I don't know a lot of family drama. I don't know trauma. I don't know those things. That's not my experience. But your experience might be different. And you might have been treated differently because of this, that, and the other. And I need to know that. I need to know your story. What you know about other people helps you be compassionate towards them, and it helps you connect with them. So you have to be includers of people who are different than you. You have to be intentional. You are the boss of your schedule. So when you pick up the remote at night, you're deciding to watch TV. You are deciding how you spend your time. So if you're not intentional about making time to reach out to others, then you will always be busy. That's just a fact. Lastly, you should be invigorated. Huh. Invigorated. Audrey, did you hear me? Audrey's recently been invigorated. She went all the way around the world, guys. See new things, and it wakes you up. Now, we have several different age groups represented here in our church, and we need all of you. My screen isn't moving. So I guess I'll just go. We need you. But it's okay to move at different speeds. Where's Marianne today? Speaking of different speeds, she's not here. So if you feel weary in community building, it's time to shake off the dust, switch things up a bit. So go somewhere new for dinner and take someone else with you. Try a different route to work. Go a different way in the grocery store you always go to so you can see different things and meet different people. God will connect you with the people that he has for you to reach. Now, I'd like to pray for a minute about this culture of community. You guys ready? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season of building and connecting. We're looking forward to all the things that you've called us to personally and corporately in this next season. I thank you, Father God, that we can diligently focus on ways to generate community opportunities that invite new people in and strengthen the church family that currently occupies this space. I thank you for divine connections, for ways to connect with people we already know better, and for ways to connect with new people. I pray, Father God, and I thank you for giving us ways to be inviters, includers, to be intentional, and to be invigorated. We ask you to breathe your breath of life into the culture of community here at Grace Christian Center. We thank you for your presence over every gathering that meets in this place. We go forth this week as sent ones, dedicated to demonstrating your kingdom here in Southwest Michigan. I'm going to just praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have a 6 p.m. service here on Sunday nights. And tonight, we're going to continue this conversation about community. So, ways that we can be involved in community, ways that sometimes community might not feel that comfortable, but it's still necessary. So, if you are able to join us, come tonight at 6 p.m. Now, there are a few upcoming ways, and Ina described a few, to dive into community right here in this place. So, we have community table, which is essentially dinner with friends. Anybody eat? Okay. So, Donnie and Cher, they're in. Okay. So, you're going to come on October 31st. That's a Thursday night, 6 p.m., Scott and Sarah's house. You can bring anyone you want. And it's totally relaxed. There's nothing. Nobody stands at the door and says, "You need Jesus." I mean, that doesn't happen, right? So, it's a great place to bring people because they can feel the warmth of the community and not have to be like, we're not shoving anything in their face. Okay. Now, we also have an annual tradition, chili cook-off and pie contest. Right. So that's a great time to bring someone that's never been here before because no one says no to chili and pie. So that is Sunday, November 3rd. We'll be having more details about that coming up. The last thing I wanted to mention is we're having a youth-led service on Sunday, November the 10th at 11 a.m. The youth are ministering the entire service. And you might say, why? Why would you have the kids lead service? And here's why. Because we're a generational church in the business of reproducing reproducers. And we want to encourage the kids to grow in their gifts that God has given them. And this is a way that we can do that. Now, if you were here in March when the kids did the service, raise your hand. And was it awesome? Okay, so we want to let them kind of learn how to do things. And when you can be right here teaching them, it works out really well. So I thank you this morning for coming to my talk on community. No. I love you guys. And I know that, you know, that's close to my heart, right? Hospitality and making people feel welcome and loving people. And that's one of the ways that we can do that. It's practical, but people need it. It's not just, I mean, yes, they need praise and they need worship and they need time alone with God, but they also need support of others that are human just like themselves. So,